coming to church on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights and standing before you folks. I praise God that He has given me. You know, talk about things to be thankful for. That's what Linda mentioned a little bit earlier. You know, I'm so thankful that God has given me a congregation like you folks that come to. You understand that? I praise God for it every day. And I tell you, there are times in my life when I don't feel worthy. And I'll be honest with you, I don't feel worthy. There are times I don't. And I thank Him for those times too. I hope you understand. But I want to talk about some stuff this morning. And I'm going to be over in Romans chapter 12, beginning with the 17th verse. I'm going to read down about the 21st verse. Romans 12, 17 through 21. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, therefore, if thine enemies hunger, feed them. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Now listen to this. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. No truer words. You know that the Bible's words are life. The Bible's words are truth. And folks, if you don't gather anything else from what I'm going to say today, remember that 21st verse right there. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. I want to preach. I mentioned a little bit. Some rabbits aren't worth hunting. And that's the title of my sermon this morning. You're probably going to think I'm nuts. But some rabbits aren't worth hunting. And I'll get into what I mean here as we get down through here. Let us pray. Fathers, we come, Lord, this morning. I come with nothing but thanksgiving in my heart this morning. I come, Lord, just giving you the praise and the glory that you so rightly deserve here this morning. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that you would just go with the congregation here this morning. I pray that you'd open up our hearts, open up our minds, Lord. I pray that we could take out of this message this morning just exactly what you'd have us to take out of it, Lord. For Father, we'll give you the praise. We'll give you the glory and the honor for it, for you so rightly deserve it. In Jesus' name we pray and ask, and amen. Amen. I remember as a kid going rabbit hunting. And I loved to rabbit hunt probably more than I loved to deer hunt. Probably more than I loved to do any kind of hunting. I used to love to rabbit hunt. We had two dogs. One was called Nellie and the other one was called Spot. And I will tell you this morning, this was without bragging, I believe those were the two best rabbit dogs I ever seen in the whole time that I've ever been around dogs. They were really, really good. And I'm not just saying that. They were. But you know what? Me and my stepfather would walk up and down these hills, walk up and down this hollow. We'd get up on Saturday morning, and we would start, and we would walk, probably 4 or 5 miles. We'd walk hunting, and we would do that just about every Saturday that we were off. We would do that. That's what we'd do. We spent many a Saturday hunting rabbits. We did that. One thing I learned from all those hours of walking, from all those hours of talking, and one thing I loved about it was we could walk and we could talk to rabbit hunt. We didn't have to be quiet. We wanted to make pretty much noise as we could make, pretty much, you know, to bounce the rabbits and to get them going. But I used to love to do that. But I remember learning this thing. I remember one Saturday, we were going through the hollow right across from our house. And as we walked up through there, we bounced this rabbit up and seen it go, and the dog took after it. And of course, you got to know this side of the hill, there's all kind of green briars and all kind of real thick over in this area. And the dogs took after it. And lo and behold, that rabbit circled, and we thought, here it comes back around. The dogs would circle back around, but it holed. It didn't come on back around. It holed. So we thought, that's okay. We'll have another shot at this thing somewhere down the road. The next Saturday come by, we did the same thing, and that rabbit did the exact same thing. It would take off, went through those green briars. The dogs couldn't hold it, and it ended up at hole. And we did this quite a few times trying to hunt this one rabbit. Now, we had success in other ways, but trying to get this one rabbit. And we know when we come to the conclusion, you know what? The some rabbits just weren't worth putting the effort in. That thing was smart. That thing was intelligent. It knew what we had planned for it. But it had other plans for us. But you know what? That same scene played out, it seemed like, every time we went to hunt that rabbit. We'd bounce it and do it. We got to the point where it was a waste of our time, so we decided, you know what, we weren't going to put our effort into trying to go over there. We had all kinds of other places to go hunt. You know what? And you can say to yourself, you know, that's a nice little story. But what's that have to do with Romans chapter 12 from right some 17 down to 21? What's it have to do? Well, you know what? There are people that if we would have wanted to, we could have been hard-headed and went over there every Saturday. You know, but we learned our lesson. But there are people in this world, and I'll say in the church world and in the world out here, that have never learned their lesson either. Some people are just like us trying to hunt that rabbit. We could have been hard-headed, but we learned it wasn't. So why then do some people, including Christians, never learn retaliation is never the answer? Why do we not learn that? So why, you know, if you say something to me, I'm going to have the last word. Have you ever been around people like that? Oh yeah. There's people like that. You better not cross me, and we're going to lay down these righteous robes, and we're going to go out. You know, I heard a Christian say that one time. We're going to lay down these righteous robes, and we're going to go at it, he told the guy. It was in church. They had a disagreement over something. I thought, wow. Wow. Recompense, you know, it says right here, it says, recompense to no man evil for evil. That's what it says. And you know what? There are people like that got to have the last word. They're right. They're right no matter what. That all that there is to it, what they say is the gospel, is the truth. And you know what? It doesn't make any difference what anybody else thinks. That's the way that they believe. And you know what? They're going to let you know if you cross their path. And it's just not a one-time event. It's like it's something that happens in their life year after year, time after time. And they just go on and on and on, trying to make their point across, trying that no matter what anybody does to them, they're going to get them back. They're going to get them back. You know what? I've seen people like that. You know what? We have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy cloak, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not away. Listen to me. Some people hear that Jesus said in the Bible, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. He did say that. But you know what? It's just like Ryan was saying, here's what. Some people fail to go on down through and read the rest of the verses. They want to pull one piece out of it. You know what? If you do something to me, I'm going to do something to you. And that's the whole attitude of a lot of people out here today. The whole attitude. Oh, by the way, just for your information, whenever he said, compel thee, if some man compels thee to go a mile, to go two, you know what he was talking about? 10 years before Jesus was born, the Romans, Senate voted in a law that said that any nation that they conquered, they, a soldier, can compel any of the citizens to carry their gear for 1 mile. They could do it. It was their law that they passed. So Jesus knew what he was talking about. He had probably seen this. They had probably, a Roman soldier probably come back and say, Hey Jew, you're going to carry my stuff. What if the Jew said, No, I can't, I got to go. He said, he's got his sword out, you're going to carry my stuff. So you know what the Jews did? They would carry their stuff and they would go just a little extra. It was something like 5,000 paces. They would go 5,002 paces is what they would do, which was a little less than our mile. And what Jesus was telling them was even more and above that. He said, if they can tell you to do 1 mile, you go 2 miles. So Jesus was telling them, you know what? You do not recompense evil for evil. You know what? You do what shows just exactly how compassionate you are. Forgiveness and not getting the last word is very hard for human beings. It is. Very hard. You see, there are reasons not to forgive. And if you listen to them, they are very compelling, right? I've heard it. And I know that any of you in here have heard it also. If somebody has done you wrong, they'll give you 1,000 reasons why. I don't want anything to do with that person. I don't want to talk to that individual. You know why? Because they're making their point. They're making their case. But Jesus says, no eye for an eye, no tooth for a tooth. That's what he says. And I stand by God's word. Amen? Amen. To forgive means to absorb the pain, does it not, of that offense and put it upon us. In not getting the last word in the act of forgiveness, we are swallowing our pride. Do you understand the reason why we do not want to forgive, or the reason why we don't want that? You know what? We recompense evil for evil because we don't want to swallow our pride and say, you know what? I'm going to take what you're dishing out, and I'm going to walk away, and I'm going to be the kind of a person that God wants me to be. That's why. Our pride will not allow us to do that. Our pride causes all kinds of problems in our life. It does. It's been said that true forgiveness, listen to this, is hard to extend because it demands that people let go of something. And that something is our pride. True forgiveness on our part, when somebody does us wrong, I'll tell you what, it's very hard. Very hard for us to let go of sometimes. You know what? If somebody come up and ask you to give away some priceless piece of jewelry, you wouldn't want to do that, would you? Well, you know what? God's asking us to give up that pride that's in our heart and to forgive those that come against us and do things against us. And you know what we do? We are not willing to do that, right? We're not willing to do that. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but the lowly is wisdom. When pride cometh, cometh shame. It does. Listen to this story. Maybe you've heard it, and I hope you've never done this. A husband and wife. Why do we continue to say hateful and hurtful things one to another? Why do we do that? Husbands and wives, listen to me. And I want to talk specifically to you for a little bit. Because this deals with you and in your household. And if we are not the household we need to be, we cannot be the Christians we need to be, and we cannot be the church we need to be. Amen? Here's a story for you. The man comes home after a day's work, comes into the house. The first thing he hears from his wife is, I'm sick and tired of picking up after you. I'm sick and tired of picking up after you. You know what? You left your cereal bowl on the table this morning and went off to work and left me to clean it up. I'm sick and tired of it. So what's the husband did? He said, well, you know what? When I got up this morning, there was a glass of milk sitting on the coffee table that was half curdled. I had to get it and take it in there and dump it out. So she fired back. But yes, you know the reason I was up? Because I got up to turn off the porch light that you forgot. That's why. Well, the man fired back at her again. Is that right? 2 weeks ago, I come home off of midnight. Every light in the house was left on. You were still asleep. The kids were still asleep. And lo and behold, they were late for school that morning. It goes on and on until finally, they decide that, you know what to blame it on? They blamed it on because their mother-in-law came over and stayed 20 years ago and that the cat had left fur in the house. So you see what I'm saying? We think this kind of stuff's funny, but this kind of stuff happens. We see, and we say to ourselves, well, you know what? We treat other people better than we meet out in the world, sometimes better than we treat our own family sometimes. I'm sorry, but we do. When the Bible says, do not recompense evil for evil, do you understand it's talking about your family just as much as it is the person out here in the world? Do we understand that? Do we comprehend it? The Bible has a large scope. It covers everything, does it not? You know what? The entire problem was laid back, and we like to dig up bones from past arguments, do we not? Depending upon what participant you ask, of course, you know what? Why would anyone want to chase that rabbit? But they do it time after time after time. They go down that same road. They pick up that same old rig. They go chasing that same old rig. They dig up those same bones. And we wonder why there's so many issues in so many homes. We wonder why. What would Jesus do in that kind of situation? Do you suppose he would keep dragging up past mistakes? Do you think he does that and throwing hateful words at you? And would you, every time you get into an argument, do you think that Jesus would do that to you? I don't think so. I don't think so. Jeremiah 31:34 tells us this. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. Listen to this. For I will forgive their iniquities, and I will remember it no more. Aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't do like we do our family sometimes? I remember what you did 25 years ago on the 15th of August. And drag it up like it's some kind of a trophy to put on a shelf. Jesus does not do that. So why is us as Christians do we do that? Why is husbands and wives? Yeah, but Jesus never had to live with him or her, right? That's what we could reason. That's what we could reason. Colossians 3:13. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also should you forgive them. That's not me talking. That's the Word of God. It's in your book. It's in yours. Why do we do this stuff? Why do we hurt those? Why do we do that? Why do we feel that we can say mean, hateful words to those we live with or those we have contact with on a regular basis, and like our friends and other family members, and that it's all right somehow? How do we feel that that's right? No one has ever been able to explain that to me. As Christians, I want to know how we think that that's right. It's not. It's not. But treat total strangers like they're gold. I've seen it. I've seen it happen. And you'll be around, speak your mind without worrying about things. You know what, pray God, we need to understand that Jesus Christ said whenever he said recompense, no evil for evil, he meant in every situation. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. I did the NIV of this, so I wrote this down. Usually I don't do this, but I wrote it down. But it tells it right here. In Romans 17 down there, it said, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Why? Why? Be careful in the eyes of everyone. Because, you know what? Because we have an influence on everybody you see in this church here this morning. Your sons, your daughters, your grandparents, your grandsons, your granddaughters. You have that influence. Whenever we, as Christians, and I'm talking to you this morning, we've got to remember we have influence on so many people. And I'm going to get into some stuff about me here a little bit. And you know what? But Romans 2:11 says, for there is no respect of persons with God. There is none. None. When you're looking at your husband and your wife and your sons and your daughters, you're looking, there's no respecter of person, just like the person that's out there in the world today. None. We need to have that same kind of love, that same kind of wanting to see them grow spiritually as we want anybody. We need to have that. But sometimes we do not do that. Neither should there be with it. If we continue to do such things, it's no different than what it was for us going over there to try to hunt that rabbit week after week, knowing the result. Surely the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. If we continue down that path, continue to say hateful things to one another, what are you going to get back in response? You are going to get hateful response back. Amen? You will get that back. That's just all there is to it. So if you continue to repay evil for evil and hurting words for hurting words, you will get nothing, no good out of it. Amen? None. None. Too many divorces become because husbands and wives have the last word. They have to have the last word. Too many of them, folks. I'm sorry, but there are. Too many children are hurting. Their confidence is shot, turning to drugs, turning to alcohol, whatever else they can turn to, because their parents won't listen to them. Because their parents won't listen to them. You know what? They too many teenagers are in trouble because they think that they know it all. I'm sorry. I was one time. I know exactly what I'm talking about. I thought I knew everything. Until I got married and had kids, and mom and dad weren't so dumb. The rabbit holes up every time, but we continue to hunt it down. You see what I'm saying? I hope you understand what I'm trying to point here. We continue to do these things over and over and over, and we expect a different result, and it doesn't happen. Because we are doing this too many times. That rabbit, we go hunting it. You know what? But we are not getting anywhere in our walk with Christ. We wonder why. If we're on the same plane as we were last year, and I'll say it and I'll keep saying it, if you're the Christian you should be more spiritually advanced today than you were this same date 1 year ago. And if you are not, I'm sorry to say this, there's something wrong with your Christian walk. You need to get to an altar somewhere. You need to get on your knees and say, God, help me grow, because we need to grow. God will not honor such nonsense. James 3:1-11. And then you don't know this scripture, and this scripture is great. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. But if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put the bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us. We turn them about their whole bodies. Behold, also the ships, which though they be great, are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whatsoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and it boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. You know, you want to see trouble? You let someone start their mouth running. You let the tongue start wagging. And before you know it, there's going to be people that's going to come right back at you. Because it kindles a great fire. Listen to me. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on the fires of hell. For every kind of beast, of birds, of serpents, and of things in the sea is tame, and has been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. And folks, when we turn it on our families, when we turn it on our church families, when we turn it on those we love, we do not understand the harm that we are doing. We don't. And it's doing sometimes irreparable harm, folks. It's doing it. But the tongue can no man tame, for it is an unruly, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father. Therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitudes of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. It's in your book. That's what God's Word says. We do not need to be blessing and cursing out of the same mouth, talking and running people down out of it, then trying to stand and praise God the next minute. That's not what He wants. Doeth the fountain send forth the same place, sweet water and bitter? It does not. It does not. It does not. This holds true whether it's family or whether it's someone we meet on the street. This scripture holds true to its what it's written right here. It is true. Another thing I've learned about rabbit hunting, when you finally get that rabbit after a hard day of hunting, after a hard day of going out there, they're getting ready to clean them up. We went hunting one Saturday. We got this rabbit. We got one. We was out all day. Believe it or not, I ain't a very good shot. Neither of my stepfather, but we got one. Anyway, we got home. And we started to clean that rabbit up. And you know what? There was something wrong with that rabbit. I don't know whether it was just sick, whether it had warbles, there was something the matter with it. It just stunk, and the meat didn't look good. So we just threw it away. All that day, we'd been out there, like I said, 4 or 5 hours and hunted. We got one rabbit. Come back in. One time, and that was it. Again, what does that have to do with Romans 12? 17? I compare it with witnessing to other people. That's how I compare that. And let me tell you why. We can put our whole heart and our whole soul into trying to win family members over to Christ, to trying to win neighbors over, our co-workers. We can do that. Our witness is so important, and people are watching us to see how we react to every situation as Christians that we are. They do. They react to that. They're waiting to see what we say. We hold the banner of Christianity up, do we not? We should be a Christ-like. We're the only Bible, again, that some people will ever read, and that is us. But so just like one bad rabbit, if we have one bad instance where we let the devil get in and mess our witness up before those people, you know what? It's just like us hunting all day, putting all that effort into getting that rabbit, getting it home, and that rabbit was no good. Our witness can be tainted. Our witness can be bad. It can stink to high heaven if we're not careful. Let me give you a couple of examples about me. And I'm not ashamed. I am ashamed of this to no end. I want you to understand this. whenever my son graduated, about 2003, this is hard. But I went up to a little store right here close to the house to get some lunch for Tink. She was working at the time of Blue Cross, and I was taking lunch down to her. And Brian was with me that day, and went into this little store, got up to the counter, and we're standing here and waiting. And this girl comes up here, and she has got an attitude like you cannot believe. She comes up here, and, "What do you want?" Starts rolling her eyes and doing that kind of stuff. And usually, I'll tell you, I do have a bad temper. Not very many people see it. And I've never, and not very many people in my family have ever seen it. But I've got a bad temper. And I fight it, and I pray that God helps me with it all the time. She did that, and for whatever reason, I went off on her. I mean, I went off on her. I told her, "If you do not want to wait on me, you get out of here." I said, "You get somebody else here. I don't even mess with you." I said, "Get out of here." And that was just the mild version of it, because I was hot. I was mad. I'm telling you here right now, I'm ashamed of this to no end. And anyway, the manager come out and he got the food, and you know, I was still hot after I got out of there. I called the owner and I let them have it. I mean, I went on. The Lord brought this scripture up to me. Do not recompense evil for evil. And I was teaching and I was preaching at the same time, and God showed me, he said, "How in the world can you be a witness to anybody by doing that? How in the world can you preach to anybody by being that way?" I went back up to that store many a times trying to find that girl to apologize to her. She was not there. I never did see her again. And to this day, it hurts me. To this day, I pray about that. Because you know what? I don't know. She probably didn't know I was a Christian. She probably had no idea that I was a Christian. Because who in the world would have known I was a Christian by the way I acted? And it hurts. I'm telling you, it hurts. I tell you that to tell you this. Do not ruin your witness because of something like that. Some rabbits aren't worth hunting. This stuff is not worth doing to ruin my witness, to ruin your witness in your life. I'm bleeding my heart out to you today, not because I want you to feel sorry for me. That's not what I want. I want you to pray for me. Continue to pray for me. Because you know what? All of us could go off like that at some time. All of us could do that. You know what? Both times these scriptures come to mind. Romans 12, 17. Matthew 5, 38, 39, I've already read to you. And also, over in 1 Thessalonians 5, 15. "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." And you see what? I didn't do that. I didn't do that. And you know what? I paid. I still pay to this day, because I still, at times, think about that girl's face. I still brought up to me. I still pray about it and say, "Lord, please, please let her. Please, if you don't ever show her to me again, please let her understand. Please let her understand." But you know what? I can't even understand it sometimes. I can't. This hurt my witness, especially since I'm a preacher. It hurt me. It hurt me big time. You know, I'm trying to get people to come to Jesus, to come His way, and here I am acting like that. That rabbit right there. Definitely not worth hunting. I want you to understand it. It's not worth you hunting either. Did it stink after it was all said and done? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It stunk to high heaven, believe you me. But you know what makes a Christian so special? You know what makes us so special, Christians? We serve a loving, forgiving God. I got on my knees and asked Him to forgive me time after time for that stuff. And you know what? I know He has. I know He has. And I want you to know something this morning. No matter where you fall in that today, no matter if you are what I was talking about here this morning, if you want to constantly pick and bicker and fight amongst yourselves over sometimes it seems like senseless things, you know what? God is still a forgiving God, is He not? He's still a loving God. He's still, you know what? Who knows what some of those rabbits we hunt are going to end up doing? You know, are they worth it? No, they're not. But He's there with open arms to take us back, is He not? He's there. to bring us back home. Preacher, I don't know if I can stop doing what I'm doing. You know what? It's against my nature not to fire back. I agree. You cannot do it on your own. You can raise your hand and say amen to that one this morning, because we cannot do it on our own. You'll never be able to do it on your own. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, though, who strengthens me. If you're here today and you feel that way in your heart this morning, you've been out, I'll tell you what, Jesus Christ is the answer. He is the answer. So we can go through Him. We can become a new creature. He tells us we can do it. You know, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Old things are passed away. We do not have to live. Do not have to go down that path anymore. Don't have to chase that rabbit anymore. We don't have to do it. Because we can become new. We can become what He wants us to become. So, that nature you're talking about shouldn't have any dominion over you anymore. Amen? That nature that you say that I can't help it, that's just my nature, it shouldn't have any dominion over us anymore. I know there are times, and I mentioned to you, there are times, you know what? It comes back to haunt you once in a while. We've got to put it under the blood again. We have to do it. I know that. It's all wrong. Listen to me. When we went out in our community, in our church, to grow and to deepen our commitment, if we want our church to grow and to get in commitment, you know what we've got to do? It's to deepen our roots. To do that, we have to have it. God's Word tells us to do and be smart about it. We have to have forgiveness. Amen? If we want the church to grow, if we want it to be what it is, if we want our families to be blessed, if we want our families, our spirituality to grow, we have to have forgiveness in our hearts. The power of forgiveness, you know what? Not long before she died in 1988, this lady was an atheist. Her name was Bernadita Lesky. And she was a devout atheist. She wrote a number of books about it also and everything. But anyway, she got on a television interview, and you know what she said? The thing that I envy most about you Christians, and that's how she put it, is you know what? Is your forgiveness. I have nobody to forgive me. If she only knew, she did. If she only knew that she did. You know what? We as Christians, we have that. I have seen some amazing acts of forgiveness by people. I told you the story about the woman whose son was murdered, and the guy that murdered her was in prison. And this lady went to prison and went and visited him and witnessed to him and got him saved. Tell me that's not an act of God. You're not going to do that on your own. I ain't going to do it on my own. It's only through God and through Jesus Christ working in me. Tell you what, there's so many other stories. The homes that have been broken up and God miraculously has put them back together through forgiveness. He has done that. You know what? What makes us what we are is that hope that Jesus Christ said, I will forgive. And He does. He sits on the right hand of the Father. He loves all of us. No matter what we've done, no matter what path we've been down, He loves us. So if you're here this morning, I don't know what rabbit you're chasing. I don't know. I don't think they're all worth it, though. I don't think there's a lot of them we chase that are well worth it. They're not worth it. They're going to lead us to destruction one of these days. Quit beating your head against the wall. Quit taking and doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. It's not going to happen. Come up here. Let's give it to Him. Let Him have it. And quit chasing those rabbits that aren't worth it. If they come and get a song.